Chapter 80. Delfuenzo had driven Bale's Crown Vic all the way inside and parked it in the garage. McQueen was already in the front passenger seat. Delfuenzo said it was her that Reacher had seen on the two-lane driving back and forth with her bright lights on. At first she had meant it just as moral support, but later she had realized the backlight might be useful, hence the triple trip. She had seen Reacher's muzzle flash on the roof. She had buzzed her windows down and heard the shots. When the subsequent long delay became unbearable, she had found her way inside. Reacher said, "Thank you." She said,
"You're welcome."
She got a first aid kit out of the trunk. Bureau issue. She said every unmarked car had one. Standard practice. A matter of policy. She cleaned the cut on his hand and bound it up. Then they got in the car. She backed up and turned around and rolled through into the entrance tunnel. Reacher got out again and hit the red button. The inner door started to close to allow the outer door to open. The ancient failsafe circuits, still obedient. Then they came out of the tunnel into the sweet night air, and they bumped across the dirt where the farmer's grandson had torn out the DOD's old approach road. They made it back to the two-lane and turned right and right again, and they parked sideways across three bays in Lacey's front lot, exactly where they had started. Reacher asked her, "Do you have an ETA for Quantico?" She said,
"There was a delay. They're still about 3 hours out."
"Would you drive me back to the Cloverleaf?"
"When?"
"Now."
"Why?"
"I want to get to Virginia."
"Quantico will want to talk to you."
"I don't have time for that."
"They'll need to know what you know."
"I don't know anything."
"Is that going to be your official position?"
"It always is."
"And what's your unofficial position?"
"Same thing. I don't know anything." "Bullshit," McQueen said to her. "He told me he had it all worked out."
"I don't believe him," Delfuenzo said. "I don't have it all worked out. Not yet. Not all of it, anyway. Obviously, I saw the nuclear waste. So I assume they were planning a strike somewhere. Maybe soon. Maybe into Nebraska's aquifers."
"Not possible," Reacher said. "Those trailers aren't going anywhere. Not now, not soon, not ever. They haven't moved for 20 years. Their tires are rotted, and I bet their axles are rusted solid. It'd take the Corps of Engineers a year just to get them out of the tunnel."
"Why are they in there at all? That place wasn't built to house that kind of stuff."
"They had to put it somewhere. No one wants it in their own backyard. It was probably just temporary, but they never figured out a permanent solution, so I guess they just forgot about it. Out of sight, out of mind."
"But why would Wadia want it if it can't be moved? If it can't be moved, it can't be used."
"They were never going to use it. It's strictly window dressing. It's purely for show."
"What show?"
"I'm not saying another word," Reacher said. "Quantico will say I'm not allowed to know. They'll call me a security risk. They'll try to keep me in that motel in Kansas for the rest of my life, which would drive me crazy, which would give everyone a problem."
"Privately, then," Delfuenzo said. "Strictly between us."
Reacher said nothing.
"You owe me,"
Delfuenzo said. "Then I get a ride to the Cloverleaf?"
"Deal."
"It's the law of unintended consequences," Reacher said.
"In what way?"
"It's a bank," Reacher said. "Wadia is a banking organization," Reacher said. "The United States has done a pretty good job of shutting down terrorist banking all over the world. The bad guys can't move money anywhere, and they can't keep money anywhere. So they had to invent an alternative, a parallel system. I guess a bunch of entrepreneurs spotted an opening, some Americans, some Syrians. Wadia is the Arabic word for safekeeping. It also means a type of Islamic bank account, as in you put money in it, and they keep that money safe for you."
"There's money in that building?"
Delfuenzo said.
"Where?"
"There's no money in any bank. Not in yours, not in mine. Not really, apart from a few bucks in a drawer. Most money is purely theoretical. It's all in computers, backed by trust and confidence. Sometimes they have gold in a vault downstairs to make themselves look serious, you know, to suggest capital reserves like in the Fed in New York or Fort Knox."
"The nuclear waste?"
Delfuenzo said.
"It's a capital reserve? Their version of the gold in Fort Knox, is that what you're saying?"
"Exactly," Reacher said. It sits there and backs their currency, which they invented. They don't deal in dollars or pounds or euros or yen. Remember the online chatter? They were talking about gallons. That's what they call their currency unit. They buy and sell in gallons. This bomb costs 100 gallons. That bomb costs 500 gallons. Wadia keeps track of the deals. They take deposits, they process payments, they shuffle balances from one account to another. They make a profit from their fees. Like any bank. Except they don't use computers because we can hack computers. It's all on paper. Which is why McQueen wouldn't let me burn the place down, because you guys need names and addresses. It's like a regular terrorist encyclopedia in there. Delfuenzo looked at McQueen. She said,
Is he right?
McQueen said, Apart from one minor point.
Which is?
Those tanks are empty. They're completely harmless. They were built but never used. They're surplus. That's why they're in there. Surplus equipment in a surplus building.
Did Wadia know they were empty?
Sure, McQueen said. Not that they ever admitted it to their clients. Delfuenzo smiled, just briefly.
I'm living the dream,
she said.
I just shot a couple of crooked bankers.
Delfuenzo started the car again and rolled slowly south. Reacher sprawled in the back. Delfuenzo and McQueen talked in the front, professionally, one agent to another, assessing the operation, evaluating the result. They ran through all the details from the inside perspective and from the outside. She told him about Sorensen. They agreed her fate was the only item in the debit column. Other than that, they agreed the outcome was more than satisfactory. Spectacular, even. A major score. A treasure trove of information and a complex system dismantled. Then McQueen told her the only remaining loose end was the identity of the big boss. Not Peter King, as previously thought. Delfuenzo blinked and stopped the car on a lonely curb in the middle of nowhere. She said,
I got some news from Quantico. When I called them about Whiteman. We heard from the State Department again, but not from their PR people this time. I think this one is genuine.
What did they say?
They have no staffer named Lester L. Lester Jr. Never did, they never heard of him.
CIA?
Likewise, never heard of him. And we can believe them, because right now all their cards are on the table. They're depending on us to keep quiet about the guy in the old pumping station.
Who was he?
He had worked in Pakistan and all over the Middle East. Except he wasn't running agents. They were running him. He'd gone native. He was Wadia's mole inside Langley.
Delfuenzo moved off the curb and started south again. McQueen said, Why did he attack us?
He attacked you personally. He had your name. Kansas City security is poor, and the CIA watches what we do. They knew we had a mole inside Wadia. Their mole reported back. The big boss told him to deal with you. So he lured you to a remote location for a meaningless meeting. Simple as that.
You did well, Reacher said from the back seat. Fast reactions. The smart money would have been on the other guy. McQueen said,
Thank you.
The forehead thing was a bit retro, though. It was the way it came out, that's all. I bent his arm and grabbed the knife, and the blade ended up pretty high, so I thought, why the hell not? Just for old time's sake. They came off Route 65 where it turned east, onto the small rural road, ready to cut the corner back to the interstate exit. They passed the Civil War battlefield site, where Americans had fired cannons at Americans for 9 long hours. McQueen turned in his seat and looked at Reacher and said, One last thing. Reacher said, What?
Tell me how you talk for a minute without using the letter A.
Delfuenzo said,
You were asleep.
McQueen said, I haven't slept for 7 months. Reacher said, Easy. Just start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. You don't hit a letter A until you get to 101. You can even do it real fast and still get nowhere near 99 inside a minute. Delfuenzo eased to a stop next to a ragged grassy shoulder. No one spoke. No doubt the FBI had appropriate banter for the occasion. The Army sure did, but private jokes are private. So they all sat quiet for a minute.
Then Reacher got out and walked away, without looking back, past the first ramp west towards Independence and Kansas City, and onward over the bridge to the eastbound ramp. He put one foot on the shoulder, and one in the traffic lane, and he stuck out his thumb, and he smiled and tried to look friendly. You have been listening to A Wanted Man. It was written by Lee Child and read by Jeff Harding.